Welcome back, WSJF listeners, to a new episode of our locally produced show, Married and Family Living, with our hosts, the amazing Al and Linda Grassley. This month, the Grassleys rewind back to their lives in January to share some information and then spend the rest of the show interviewing a guest who participates remotely via a Zoom call. Ah, technology. Let's get right to the show, folks. Here are our hosts, Al and Linda Grassley. And as
you feel it. Welcome to Married and Family Living with the Grassleys on 92.7 FM.
A show focused on the domestic church, the family, which is the foundation of faith and spirituality.
We hope you find our stories encouraging and helpful as we share our challenges of married and family living.
Well, good evening, Linda. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing well.
It's pretty exciting. We're making like radio history here. But before we get to that, let's go over what last month was. We had a good, it was New Year's.
Yes. And we got to talk about your favorite topic.
Yep.
Finances.
Finances. So, yes, I'm still in the throes of figuring out the budget. Trying to keep us on budget.
Right.
So it's very difficult.
Readjusting to one less kid and
yes,
new
that's
year and
correct.
New
correct.
Job and all that fun stuff.
And so, then the eating, the new habit of eating hasn't really hasn't really kicked in yet. I'm waiting for Lent for that. So I'm really looking forward to Lent so that I could.
It's a long way off, honey.
I don't know. Lent might start early. So,
We talked about your new book, Generosity. How's that going? Generosity, what was the name of it?
The Generosity Habit by Matthew Kelly.
Yes.
So I haven't read it too much because I've been very generous with my time so far. So I really haven't had too much time to sit down. Well, that and the NFL playoffs. I mean, you never know what it is.
That's exciting. Our Buffalo Bills are
looking good.
We won't get ahead of ourselves.
By the time this is out, they've already lost. So it doesn't matter.
Probably. That's right. So. Well.
All right, so listen, if you're having trouble with your New Year's resolution and you've fallen it off the horse again, just start again.
Start again.
Start anew. Start on Monday.
Monday.
Just kick it up and get right back at it.
Well, we used a lot of our, as we always do, materials from books and podcasts and articles. And one source we are very fond of is the Catholic Review's Rita Bittner's articles. And guess who we have with us today?
Oh my gosh, it's Rita. Rita's here. Rita, say hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
All right. So this is very exciting because we've been talking about this. I think I've mentioned this probably last year.
Yeah.
I reached out to Rita through the Catholic Review, and she responded pretty quickly, so I was kind of excited about it. And then we had to work out the...
Danny
did not have enough time on his hands, so I figured, hey, we're going to have somebody come in. And he's like, oh, we don't have a third microphone. And I'm like, well, we'll just have her zoom in. So she's actually just sitting in the other room, but we're zooming in so we can get her to talk, something like that.
No, but she's at her home.
She's at her home. So,
Rita's a working wife and mother of two boys, 12 and 14. Our youngest is a 14-year-old boy, too, so we know all about that. And she grew up in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. She lives in Timonium and is a parishioner at another St. Joe's, which is in Cockeysville.
Yep, she blogs for the Catholic Review and writes a monthly column, The Domestic Church, about faith and family. Mm-hmm. And here she is.
Yes.
So, Rita, thank you so much for joining us. It's kind of amazing how Lynn and I try to come up with a
material
topics. And like I said, we talked earlier, every time we get to Catholic Review, yours is the first article we go to.
Mm-hmm. And, thank you so much.
Yeah, and we're aligned pretty much, which is amazing. So,
yeah, it's fun. It feels like we know you.
Yeah.
We really enjoyed your articles.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think Rita's listened to every show, so she's listened to us for 16 hours straight, so she knows us pretty well, too. So it'll be...
We're dreaming. You're reaching on that one.
She'll be good. So we're doing similar work. So we have a couple
work in different places. Mm-hmm.
So we have a couple questions that we'd love to ask you, just because Linda and I are fans. So if you're here in person, I'd ask you to autograph the magazine for us. So that'd be awesome.
I'll send you a copy.
Yeah, that'd be great. So why don't you fill us in? Where did you grow up and your background with faith and whatnot?
Sure, sure. I grew up actually in Rogers Forge in the St. Pius X parish in Towson, and went to school there and grew up, was Catholic from the time I was baptized, and I guess 45 years ago. So grew up in the Archdiocese and haven't ever gone too far from there. And went to college in Pennsylvania, but came back home to Baltimore. And I'm just north of the city in Timonium now at St. Joseph's Parish, where we're raising our children. And my husband's in this with me, too.
Awesome. How long have you been? The next question, Linda, is how did you meet your husband? And how long have you been married? I was just wondering how long.
So we actually met online. At the time that we met, it wasn't as common, maybe, as it is now. I feel like now I probably know more couples. We were married in 2004. We met through a Catholic dating site called StRaphael.net, which became Catholics Online. Went on kind of on a lark, and I think he did too. And he was doing similar work to what I was doing. So when I saw his description, I thought, oh, he works for a college in Maryland doing public relations work. Maybe it's a networking thing. And I reached out, and then we just hit it off immediately and met in person about a month later on the steps of St. Mark's in Catonsville. We went to mass first and then to dinner, and we were married about a year later.
Wow. So, Catholics went to mass for their first date. Holy cow.
So
there's probably no conflict then with you guys. You're both Catholic. You're both in publishing. Everything's just great.
We never argue, Al, not ever. But meeting at mass seemed like a good idea, because meeting on a blind date sounded terrifying. And we didn't have cell phones in the same way. It wasn't like today. And so I thought, well, if I say, will you go to church with me? That seemed like if we could do that and go through an hour-long mass, I could always bail at the end.
Yeah. So were you sitting next to each other, or did you kind of sit over on the other pew and he was on the other pew? Or
we did. We sat together, and the reading that day was that reading from Ephesians 5 that's about wives, be submissive to your husband.
Oh my goodness.
Husbands, so love your wife like the church. And I thought, wow, I mean, God has set the bar very high from the first date.
So right.
You have to talk about that right out of the box. So.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
So if we went to church for our first date and you heard me sing, that would have probably been it. So now we're married after 20, I don't know, how many years? 26 years. You're kind of used to my terrible singing. Wow, that's a great story.
I love that.
That is a really cool story. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah. So what are your biggest challenges of being a working mom and wife? I see you work for Loyola, and you write there. I read do. Some of your things on there, too, that are wonderful. So you seem you're a director, right? You're very busy.
It is a busy job. I'm director of communications for the university, and certainly there's always something to communicate. So I do stay very, very busy. I think my challenges are probably the same of any working mother, working parent, really trying to get the lunches packed, get people out the door, try not to yell, be patient, kind, make sure the children are completing their homework. Also, you know, do everything I need to do for my professional life and not feel so overwhelmed, not feel I'm letting anyone down, but mostly just to give myself the grace that I'm going to let people down. I mean, being patient with yourself is the hardest thing. The children are much easier to be patient with. We just can't do it all. I'm sure, Linda, you probably would say the same thing. You put so much on yourself to succeed. And I don't even think for me, it's ever felt like it was about professional success as far as ambition, but just wanting not to let people down and wanting to be present to people. And I think that is the hardest thing, is being present to your family and to your work and being all the things to all the people, and then letting yourself off the hook when you can't be.
Right.
So
ironically, I think I did not work full time for 19 years. And I've just in the last couple of years gone back to work full time. And I give myself much more grace now that I'm busier. And I thought it would be completely opposite. I'm like, I just knew being a full-time worker, I would not be able to do it. So there you have it. I should have been working all along.
No, yes, you should have.
But we homeschooled too. So, you know, that's a whole different That was a different thing.
So do you ever like make excuses like, look, I'm doing God's work during the day, so I'm not going to take care of the dishes tonight. That's up to you guys. Do you ever use those kind of excuses?
It sounds like a good one, Al. Well, yeah. I'm sorry, I don't say things like that more.
Really? Because that's what Linda does. I was at St. John's all day today, Al.
No.
Getting these kids to follow God. Now, you can make me dinner. So.
Well, we certainly carry in more often than we probably should. But it's just a matter of survival sometimes to be able to bring energy to the evening when you've been working all day.
Right.
But it's just work and you're just trying to balance it all. I think we're all extremely busy, but that is really interesting, Linda, to think about that maybe you give yourself a little more grace when you are doing all the things.
Yeah, well, that's how it was for me too. But and I also just long for the weekends, and I get upset when there's little projects. I'm like, this is the weekend we're supposed to be spending, you know, as a family, because we don't get to do it that often. But
yeah,
and with COVID, everything keeps shutting down, so I'm like, yes, we don't have anything to do. We can spend time together. So
yeah. So tonight, Linda was trying to help Matthew with homework, and she goes, "Well, what did you do in physics today?" And Matthew goes, "Well, I did physics, Mom." Did you ever get that from your kid? Something like that?
I think that's probably fairly common for the middle school boy. but luckily, I don't have to help my 14-year-old that much with homework. Thank goodness, because I think it is much harder to go to school today than it was when we were in middle school. I can't do his math or his science.
Yeah.
And a lot of what they learn is different.
Yeah, just tell him you got through it and you have faith right. that he can get through it too.
Yeah, I can't really help him anymore. I just check things to make sure that he's on task. And then he says, I got it, Mom.
He's just saying, what does this have to do with string theory, Matthew? It's physics.
Yeah, right, there you go. Right. Big Bang All right. theory.
So how did you start
writing? Was this something that you were inspired to do by someone, or just a hobby you had to start, or how did that get going?
So professionally, my career started as a newspaper reporter, and so I was a writer in that way. But I hadn't written personally, like essays or columns. That wasn't something I was doing. And then when we were starting our adoption journey to adopt our first son back in 2008, I guess is when we started, and we met him in 2009, so many family and friends were asking, where are you in the adoption process? What's next? When will there be a baby? Where will he be? How long will it take to get to him? And so I started a blog. And there were many other adoptive families blogging too, so it ended up being a nice way to connect with other families who were waiting to meet their child in China too. We went to China for both of our sons to adopt them. So I started that blog, and then I kept it going after on our second adoption journey for our younger son. And then when we got home and I met, I didn't really meet him. So there was this guy dating my sister who worked at the Catholic Review, and he's still there, and they got married. But at the time, they were just dating. And he said, oh, I've read your blog. Would you be willing to blog for the Catholic Review?
Wonderful.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, I never would have sought that out or thought about writing in that way. I was writing very much like, oh, he did this funny thing the other day, or, you know, look how cute this picture is of my child playing in the snow. But he saw something there. So I started a blog for them, and I thought, I'll run out of topics fast. Like, how much can there be to say? I'm sure you felt the same way.
Oh my gosh, we felt the same way. Yeah, that's why we invited you in. We're out of topics. So I'm glad you're available.
Maybe 6 months out, right? Like, maybe I can come up with content. And I just kept going with it. And then when they were, the Catholic Review used to look more like a newspaper, and then they were converting it to a magazine, they said, would you be willing to do a print column for us? And I thought, again, will I have anything to say? Like once a month on a specific faith topic? But sometimes I feel like God's opening a door, and you really have to say to yourself, well, there's a reason he's doing this. I mean, I guess he'll provide something.
Right.
And he always has. And I don't even know how many years it's that I've been doing the column. I should have looked that up. Maybe 6 or 7.
That's okay. That's pretty cool. I can't get over the fact how we are almost on the same topic. Like, is there a domestic church calendar that comes out at the beginning of the year? And it's like January, they want to talk about how
it's God's calendar. God,
I mean, yes. Do you get that? Is that a print copy of that? Because we need a copy of that.
I need a copy of that. That would really be helpful because, you know, you're always planning content ahead of time. So you're thinking about Lent before people are thinking about Lent and you're trying to think ahead and what's the topic, it would be great to get a hand, your hands on that calendar. If you do, let me have a copy, please.
Yeah, well, we'll
send it right away.
Yeah, we do kind of, so because we're recording January for the February show, we think a little bit ahead, but not that much ahead. But yeah. It is amazing how your article and what we glean about what we're going to talk about kind of line up more than, more than all, like the, it's a lot
most often,
I should not, say.
Yeah. Well, let's do a station identification.
I could tell by the music going on that it's time for a station break, Linda. You are listening to Married and Family Living with the Grassleys on 92.7 WSJF.
Okay, so you said that you started as a reporter. How did, what was your influence to start down that track?
Oh, I love stories and I love people and I love telling people stories. And so in college, I got involved in the college newspaper and talking to people and telling their stories. And that just led me to newspaper reporting, which I did for about 5 years. And I loved, but I wasn't sure what the future was in newspapers. Newspapers have done much better than I thought they might in the late 90s, the early 2000s. So when I had an opportunity to get into public relations, media relations, I took that path instead. But I always knew I would keep writing in some way and keep telling those stories.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you're so good at it. I mean, your stories are so personal and you really make connection with people, I think.
You draw us in.
Yeah, you really do.
Absolutely.
So,
You know, Lynn and I have been doing this show for 3.5 years almost. Or so. So sometimes we're like, what are we going to talk about? And I'm like, I don't know, let's just show up and talk. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit moment. So can you give us a couple examples of some Holy Spirit moments that you've had?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I lean hard on the Holy Spirit and I'm so glad that he always shows up because I'll have a deadline for a piece that I need to write. And I'll feel like I've got nothing. I have no idea where I'm going to go with this. And sometimes it happens at church, like I'll hear a phrase or I'll just see an interaction. Like it might be someone receiving the Eucharist or it might be a child who's eating a Cheerio off the floor or something, but it's something that, that just triggers something in me. And it might happen at home. And sometimes it's in a really simple way. It could be one thing that one of the children says to me or just a little encounter, those really everyday, ordinary moments. And I'll just feel like, oh, wait, there's something more to that. Maybe that's how God looks at me, or maybe that's how I talk to God, or maybe that, I don't know, there just like is like this glimmer. And I can't even always understand where it's coming from. And that's where I really feel that it's the Holy Spirit guiding me. And sometimes I'll just jot it down, like it'll be two words, and I come back to it later and I'll, like, it means so much more to me later. And then I have something to say.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't work at all. Sometimes you go back and you can't, it doesn't quite get you there, but sometimes it's loud and clear and it's really there. And the best pieces I've written, I start writing not knowing where they're going to go and they just come. And I really know that's the Holy Spirit because something comes out that I didn't know was within me. And it just pours forth. It's like the story about the jug of oil, which just has a little bit in the bottom, but it's enough to make food for the mother to feed her son for however long. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I'll feel like this well is so dry. There's nothing left. And then it'll just be one tiny little encounter or like a memory. Like when I wrote the one about my father's fire truck that he built for us, I haven't thought of that in years. And something happened where I was like, oh my gosh, like, oh, that fire truck my dad built. And then I start down the memory lane with it. And then before I know it, there's a faith lesson that I feel like I could share. But I know that's God at work and that's not really fully me, you know?
Right. That is beautiful. I know that happens to us time and time again. But you write several, many, many articles over a month. We write one radio show.
Yes. And usually the Holy Spirit moment is usually when we're arguing about something. It's like, oh, this could be a show. So, I mean, I work at the computer and I call up like family podcast and marriage podcast. Do you have anybody that you kind of go to like, oh, let's see what so-and-so said this month. Maybe I could glean something off of that or.
I follow follow a number of Catholic, I guess I'd call them creatives, like writers and podcasters on social media. So I'll see what people are saying and what they're talking about. And that's really important to me, to feel like fed by some of that and see how they're living their faith journey. It doesn't usually feed my inspiration directly, but it helps me to think about, you know, people talk about imposter syndrome, and I think it's very hard to put yourself out there in a public way and sharing personal stories and feel confident about it all the time. But seeing that community of people who are living their faith in a public way, outwardly, and expressing it and being a little vulnerable, that does really inspire me. And that helps me keep going, because it's not as if I am in any way a better pilgrim on this journey than anyone else. I don't have it figured out at all. So that gives me the confidence to keep writing and keep putting forward, like, here's a little something that I've taken away from life experience lately or something. I don't know if that.
Yeah. No, that helps. That helps. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
I can appreciate the vulnerability too, you know, and that's why I feel so blessed by the Holy Spirit, that it gives us confidence in the topic, the theme that we have, that we think, you know, we can make a show out of it. And generally what we think of as going to be the topic is not. It segues because of all these other things that are put before us. So it's kind of beautiful when you think about it.
Yeah, when you were it's kind of funny when you're telling us about your blog in 2004, I'm like, oh, that's back when the internet was, you know, innocent, you know, like it's so much easier to now you put something out there. It's like there's thousands of people just ready to pounce on you.
Yes,
you
know? That's right. Yes, it wasn't like that. No, you're so right.
No, it's just kind of funny. So I don't really put too much stuff out there, but, you know, except for the radio show. But what else were we going to ask about?
Well, so you were talking about you got new pet, or I read after we spoke, not just a pet, you got pets. How's that going?
The COVID pets, right?
Is that what it is? We got our COVID dog.
Yes, our COVID dog. My younger son has always loved birds, and he's wanted birds forever. And I, you know, we were never going to have a bird, but we were never going to have a global pandemic either and be home all the time. So somehow he talked us into going to get birds from the pet store. He looked up and I wasn't paying attention really. Like, he was charged with doing the research. And I said to him, you have to find out everything about this bird. And I was really, really busy with work. So this is an example of when I did not balance things well at all. And he was like, I know what they eat. I know what they do. I know everything about these. They're the cutest little finches. So we weren't even grocery shopping in person, but we went to a pet store and got finches and everything they needed, the cage, all the things, and brought them home. And I asked the cashier as we were ringing up, I said, do you know if they're boys or girls? And she said, you can't tell without a blood test. And I was like, oh, that sounded legitimate, you know? And she didn't know. by that evening, I was sure it was a male and a female finch. Like, I just knew, like, they acted totally different. And I'm not that much of an animal person, but I could just tell. And so I started Googling, and you can tell to look at them. And there definitely was a male and a female. So within a few months, we had four.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my.
Yeah. So we got to experience the joy of the laying of the eggs and the hatching. Like, there is nothing like your child coming running to tell you that the egg is hatching when you didn't think that those eggs had anything inside, and what were the chances they would survive? So anyway, so now we have the four birds separated in cages, men and one.
Wow.
Learned my lesson. But it's really beautiful for the pandemic, especially when we were all home. And even now, we never were really pet people. I mean, I love animals, but we have lots of allergies, apparently not bird allergies, thank goodness. And it's added a lot of joy to our lives to have these little creatures and to have the children especially enjoy them. But I really enjoy them the most. And I do all the care and everything.
Right.
You know how it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing, though. Well, so our son, Matthew, cannot listen to this station, this radio.
Go ahead. Would you just tell it? He doesn't listen anyway.
He loves birds. Can I have a bird? I said, when you grow up, you can have a bird. He wants a cat, too. a bird and a cat. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think that's a good mixture.
Listen, all we got is a dog, buddy. That's it.
But that, what an awesome experience to see them lay the eggs in the hatch. And, oh, it's so cool. That's cool. Amazing.
So at the beginning... At the beginning of that story, when you're like, ah, the birds, whatever, we'll never get a bird. It's kind of reminded me of the thing with your dad building the dog house and how you never like dogs and it turned out to be a fire truck. It was kind of funny.
That's a great story.
That's a great story.
So we talk a lot about traditions, the importance of traditions for families and the kids.
And for married couples.
And married couples, yeah.
Yeah.
So we wondered what traditions your family might be your favorite.
What's your favorite? Or if you have kids. Let's put them on the spot. It's Valentine's Day this month. Oh. What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
We're already to February, right? And so we got engaged on Valentine's Day. I know. I was pretty sure I knew which way that wind was blowing, but you never know until the ring comes out, right? And so we always celebrate it, but it certainly looks different these days than it is. I mean, it's never been anything more than maybe going out to dinner. We'll probably carry in. It'll probably be pretty simple, but we'll always do something to mark the day because that's the day that he asked. And I said, yes. So that'll be special. That'll be fun. Do you all do anything special for Valentine's Day?
So we still have kids. Well, so we usually always have a nice steak dinner. That's our specialty. It's like Christmas Eve, we have steak. New Year's Eve, we have steak. Anybody's birthday, we usually have steak on the grill.
And chocolate for dessert.
Some kind of chocolate cake or on dessert, something like that. But
we've always said no big gifts for Valentine's Day. So we usually get a bag of...
peanut M&M's and split it. That's nothing... Yeah, nothing exciting.
But the kids would get baskets for them and they get a gift card to go to our local bookstore, Likely Story. And my daughter has a peanut allergy, so it's special candy from Vermont Nut Free. And, a couple other little trinkets. But
yeah, it's not a big. No, nothing big. Everything is low key. And then if usually on a Friday or Saturday near Valentine's Day, Lynn and I will go out and have a couple drinks at a bar.
Nice.
That's our tradition, bar food. But we didn't get engaged on Valentine's Day. Your husband is quite the romantic.
Yeah, we got engaged on Father's Day.
That's special.
That's different.
It was different. Before I asked her dad, I said, "Hey, you want to get married?"
But a newish, one of our favorite traditions is the kids on their birthdays get to have their birthday cake at breakfast. And one of our newer ones in the last few years that we do an Easter egg hunt, which, we've always done in our backyard, but we added money as they got older. Because one of my girlfriends, she's not much younger than I am, but her parents put big money, like $100 bills in theirs. Now, we don't do that, but the kids get a kick out of it. So I was just thinking, if we're going to do that this year, now our daughter just moved out and the boyfriend will have to come over it might just be a whole big thing,
I'm just going to give out one Bitcoin to each kid.
That's
all it is, one Bitcoin.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time and preparation and all of that. It's really been fun.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't really finished the interview, so we might have to ask you out again. Maybe when we run out of stuff to talk about, we'll invite you out again. Now that we know that it works, it's really not that big of a deal. It only took Danny about a day and a half to figure everything out.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, figured out now, so it should be good to go.
Yes, it's wonderful. So, Danny, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for accepting the invitation and making time. I know... this show is like, for me, is almost as bad as the first show because it just seems like I've been spending a lot of time trying to plan it all out. I haven't been doing much, just planning stuff.
No, he's really just been nervous.
Yes.
Deep breaths.
I didn't sleep at all last night. I was so worried about it.
Well, I think I hear the music.
Oh, thank goodness. Rita, thank you so much. And remember, it's Valentine's Day. Go out and celebrate somehow with your spouse.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks to Rita Bittner for sitting in. Check out Rita's articles on the domestic church in the Catholic Review magazine each month. We'll catch you next time on Married and Family Living.